Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Junks are presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Also need to remind you, Junkies Poker Open is less than a month away. It's coming back Friday, September 9th is the date at MGM National Harbor. After an extended hiatus, we know the demand is there. There are going to be a ton of people there. We hope you are some of them. JPO 2022 is presented by our friends at Potomac Metals. You've tried the rest. Now scrap with the best. Live long and scrap on. So that is less than a month from today.
And, of course, we're going to be there the night before.
Yes.
Which is the NFL season opener. Great game. We're going to be hanging at the sports book starting at 7 o'clock. All day you can register for the JPO in the poker room.
Yes, correct.
On Thursday. And if you want to spend the night there, which we advise, get a room, discounted room rate. We just put up the link. You can follow us on Twitter at Junks Radio. It's there, or follow the Fan DC. We're going to all retweet it. But that is where you can get your discounted room rate, which I believe is $249.
Yes, correct. Take advantage of it. That is limited. So
it's up there at Junks Radio. You can do that.
Yep. Time now to hit the skins, give you the latest from Commanders Training Camp, brought to you by Paul Henry's Windows, paulhenryswindows.com. Your clear home improvement choice.
Well, Cakesy, since we're talking gambling a little bit.
Love the gamble.
Let's start with an update. The Maryland Lottery and Gaming Control Commission on Wednesday signed off on the Commander's application for a retail sportsbook license at FedEx Field. So they are a step closer to final approval. It was a 6-1 vote. The interesting thing here is Daniel Snyder's attorney, James McCarroll, appeared on video, and he told the commission his client was unexpectedly traveling and didn't have access to Wi-Fi for a video appearance. Snyder joined in an audio-only capacity, but he did speak.
He did. Yes, I heard him.
I heard him, too.
I heard audio of Daniel Snyder speaking as I was driving home, and I was listening to B. Mitch and Finley, and I heard that weasel with his hat in hand just slurping all of the people from, you know, the PG County honchos that have to make the decision, and the lottery board higher ups, and he couldn't have sounded less sincere.
Yeah. Daniel Mark Snyder.
All right, and if you're going to comment, I need to swear you in. Do you solemnly swear or affirm under the penalties of perjury that any statement you will make in this matter will be the whole truth and nothing but the truth?
Yes, sir. Yes.
Thank you. You may address the commission.
I just wanted to thank everyone at overall, not only the Maryland Lottery Gaming, but just Prince George's County, where our stadium is, has been headquartered. And I want to thank just it's been an absolute pleasure. And our stadium. We've dramatically upgraded. We're encouraging everybody to come to see all the changes we've done to the stadium this year. I think it'll be quite impressive. We're going to have some big time attendance shortly as our staff, our leadership team, Jason Wright and Trista and the team have done an amazing job. So we're very, very optimistic also on the season. We finally have ourselves a quarterback. So, I wanted to say thanks to everyone. I really, truly appreciate that.
All right, so three things stand out there. Yeah. One, stadium dramatically upgraded.
Okay. Is that human melatonin?
Yes, he is the ultimate bore fest. Yeah. Stan Snyder. Everybody clamors. Well, I wish we heard from the owner more. Why? He is a super bore fest. He never has anything to say.
But he had three things there that jumped out. One says the stadium's dramatically upgraded.
Okay, so hold on. I want to hear from people that go out to see the Commanders
if they're impressed with the upgrades.
Panthers on Monday. I want to hear about the dramatic upgrades. I want to hear what those are.
But he's at least claiming that.
Okay.
Two, he says big time attendance. Now that is
that seems
a grasper.
Well, I mean, come on.
They finished 32nd in home ticket sales last year. Yeah. Dead last. And then three, he says we finally have ourselves a quarterback. That remains to be seen.
Well, he also said very, very optimistic. So they're expecting big things in 2022. Expectations are high. I slapped my knee when I heard dramatically upgraded stadium. Like
lots okay. of ahs.
Yeah, I mean, he's not a public speaker.
You've slapped some Commanders logos all over the place. Okay, that makes sense. You're rebranding the entire team. But are you really going to dramatically upgrade a stadium that you don't have long-term plans to stay in? Probably not. Oh, and by the way, on a side note, it's embarrassing that the Detroit Lions have a training facility that puts the Commanders' training facility to shame.
Correct.
And I understand that the Commanders are, they're playing a waiting game. They're playing the long game. They want to put their training facility right next to the new stadium, wherever it winds up, whether it's in Virginia or Maryland. But you're losing the training facility arms race in the NFL when teams like the Lions have a way better complex than you do.
Stadium talk is quieted of late.
Yeah.
I'm not convinced they're going to build that new stadium. I'm kind of buying into they're going to stay at FedEx Field.
Well, they can't stay.
Maybe build right next to FedEx Field.
They can't stay in FedEx forever. I mean,
not forever.
They may kick the can down the road and stay
correct. You
know, later into the 2020s because the lease runs out, what, 2027?
It's 27, yes.
So they may be in there a few years after that, but, I mean, you can't keep playing in that stadium.
So now that they have awarded the licenses, the Gaming Control voted 6-1. How far away are they now from an actual sports book in the stadium?
I would guess they're going to try to get one up and running before.
They still need final approval.
They still need final approval from, I don't know, some board. Let's see what it says here.
I'm going to guess, yeah, as Cake said, they're going to try and get it in as soon as possible.
I mean,
they already probably have a location set up.
Well, if I were Dan Snyder and the top decision makers, it's already half built. You know what I mean? Like you're already half constructing it, just waiting for the final go ahead. Like there's no way that they're just starting to break ground in the stadium. I would guess it's already happened, right? Like, if you're a forward thinking,
I would think, yeah.
You should already have the spot picked out, and you at least have plans and designs as to how big it's going to be, where it's going to be in the stadium.
So now the approved license goes to the Sports Wagering Application Review Commission, and they've got the final say on sports betting licenses. So who knows when they're going to meet, when they're going to finally approve it. But I get it. They definitely want it in there by week one.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But I don't know if it'll be there by week one.
Since we're talking about Daniel Snyder, Pro Football Talk had an article about the investigation of Daniel Snyder. And according to Roger Goodell, there's no timeline still. So the whole issue with the investigation of the owner just goes on and on and on.
Well, here's what Roger Goodell wants. He wants week one to start and everybody to care about the actual on-field product instead of worrying about congressional inquiries and hearings and investigations into Daniel Snyder.
Hmm.
What Goodell said is, as we all know, there's an ongoing investigation, a congressional invitation as well, as our investigation into those issues. As we get to resolution on that, Dan and I will discuss where he participates. Sure sounded like he was participating in a call yesterday.
Right. Well, because
he was.
Here's why. Because he wanted something.
Yeah, he
Dan Snyder wants the license.
He wants the sports book so in the stadium.
So he can print more money. And look, as a businessman, I understand that. Like, sports gambling is here. You want to embrace it. You can make a lot of money from it. You know, PG County can benefit from it. Everybody wins. Get it up and running.
Well, they finished the investigation, though, on Stephen Ross and handed down the penalty.
Right. Right.
Loss of draft picks, the fine. The same woman, Mary Jo White, is doing the investigation into Daniel Snyder. And yet, part of that investigation has to do with Tiffany Johnston's claims of misconduct committed by Snyder. That's when he tried to force her into the to the car and a little, you know. Plus, there's the allegation of the plane.
Correct. That to me is think more, you'd be much able to get serious.
To the, you'd think you'd be able to get the bottom of it rather quickly.
Right.
Well, the Dolphins investigation seemed like it went pretty quick. I mean, it was. It was much quicker than this. This is years.
Right. The wheels.
Hey, getting back to the sports gambling, Valdez. Do the Ravens have a license to open up a sports betting lounge?
Not that I know of.
They don't. Okay.
Also, think about it.
The horseshoe.
The horseshoe is
that's true.
Two blocks away.
Right. Right. Right.
And plus, they do a lot of game day stuff in the casino. I'm not sure if it's tied with the Ravens Club, but
right.
I mean, they have like parking that's there. They got a bunch of stuff that's tied in with the horseshoe.
Gotcha.
So I don't know if they would do on-site stuff or not.
Gotcha.
seems like it's not worth it. Well, it's not worth the squeeze. I mean, I guess you could bet in while you're in your seat, but the casino's right there.
Right.
Right. On the field. So I think it was day 13 of practice at training camp yesterday, and there finally was a little scuffle. Shaka Toney apparently took exception to a block from Curtis Hodges. There were some punches.
Curtis
thrown,
Hodges, so we were talking about yesterday.
Yeah, big boy that's like 6'8".
He's a big dude, yep.
Big fella. Sun Devil.
Some East Reyes apparently had to get in between to stop up the fight. Mm-hmm. But as far as Carson Wentz, there have been mixed reports on how he's played. Yesterday, what we were hearing was that Wentz and Terry McLaurin were hooking up a little bit more often, and they seem to be building a connection. Most of the talk from training camp has been he has this great rapport with Jahan Dotson, but I guess he's linking up with Terry McLaurin more. Did throw an interception yesterday in practice. So it just seems to be up and down. I know one of your sources said kind of the same thing.
My source told me that the timing's getting a little bit better, but he's hit or miss, depending on the day. Just kind of like his career. He's hit or miss. By the way, speaking of the tight ends, Cole Turner, who's been battling, I think it's a hamstring.
Hamstring, correct.
He tried to go out and play. He was out there for two plays, and they said, nope, he can't go. So they had to pull him out.
Hamstrings are delicate, man, like especially for tight ends and wideouts.
Mm-hmm.
If you're nursing a hamstring injury, depending on the severity of it, that's something that can linger for weeks. So I'm guessing the coaching staff's being overly protective. Just put him to the side. And that's not great news for the tight end room because we don't know about Logan Thomas, whether he'll be available for week one. Cole Turner, I mean, maybe they think he'll be ready in 2 or 3 weeks. I don't know how long they think it's going to take. Hodges, maybe he's a guy that steps in more, but it doesn't sound like he's like a big – is he a big pass-catching threat? Or is he more of a blocker?
Hodges? No, he didn't catch a lot of passes in ASU.
I mean, what looked like a crowded tight end room now looks like a crowded injured tight end room.
I'm sorry, it wasn't Cole Turner that Cole Turner. I don't think practiced at all. Bates tried to come back.
Yeah, Bates is another one. Yeah, he was doing individual drills a couple days ago, and now it sounds like a setback.
So my source says Bates practiced for about 3 seconds and then got re-injured. Top three tight ends all hurt.
I mean, if
Trey Turner's still out for at least another 10 days, too, on the offensive line.
If you're the Commanders, I think you have to start looking at bringing in some free agent tight ends.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they're looking.
If you don't think Logan Thomas is good to go for week one, I mean, who would start? Bates or Turner?
Yeah, if they're ready to go. And if those guys are hurt, then you obviously got to plug.
Is Samus Reyes really ready to start in NFL games?
No chance. You can't start him.
I don't think so.
No, you'd have to pluck somebody.
Yeah.
One note that I saw on NBCSportsWashington.com was about your guy Antonio Gibson Cakes. You've always said He's a dual threat guy. Can catch balls out of the backfield. They were saying his hands are shaky.
I'm souring on fantasy wise. I have soured on Antonio Gibson with the re-signing of J.D. McKissic and the arrival of Brian Robinson, and the fact that it just looks like there's going to be a lot of mouths to feed in that backfield. I'm shying away from him. Now, that doesn't mean he can't still have a really good season and be a focal point of the offense. I think they're going to lean on him, but there's a lot of factors working against him at this point. Fantasy football doesn't look great,
and that's why they drafted Brian Robinson, because they weren't fully sold that he could be the number one guy.
Gibby last year was like a second or third round pick in most fantasy drafts. This year, I think
he's like 6, 7, 8.
Fifth to seventh round type of area.
Still could be a good RB2.
He could be, but I'm wary.
All right, we can talk some college football next.
I hope so.
Chris Doering is going to join us.
Haven't talked to him in a while.
Friend of the show, played his college ball at Florida, played here in Washington. We'll talk college football with Chris Doering next on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We head out now to the BetQL guest hotline. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. We're joined by our friend Chris Doering, former Gator wideout, played here in Washington for many years, current analyst for ESPN and the SEC Network. What's up, Chris? Good morning to you, sir.
My guys, good to be back with you, man. Means the season is right around the corner.
I mean, can you believe we're 16 days away? 16.
I love the fact that we're counting down this big matchup between Vanderbilt and Hawaii. That's how much we're excited about football kicking off. At least here in the SEC, that's the one we're pointing to.
If you think I'm not excited to watch Northwestern and Nebraska in Dublin, you're crazy.
That's true. That's true. I'm thinking SEC-centric, but you're right. We did talk about that one yesterday.
I got you.
Chris, be sure to look in your email inbox for an invite from Jason for his Power 5 Survivor Pool. Maybe he's already invited you. If you haven't gotten the invite, I'm sure it's on
his way. Haven't invited him, but you know what? I wouldn't stoop to that level. But if he's interested, he can text me and let me know. It's very...
Yeah. I'm in for any sort of gambling pool we can be associated with, man. So let's go.
Right. He's more of a blackjack guy, though, right?
Yeah, I think he'll dabble in all sorts of gambling. I mean, why wouldn't he?
He definitely likes his blackjack,
sure.
No doubt.
Of course he does.
Dude, I haven't been down to the Bahamas this year. It's been a tough off season for me, man. I'm missing the folks down at the Cove.
Well, you're busy, man. Hold on, you're a busy guy.
Has it really been a tough off season for you? I think I saw you tweeting or going back and forth with somebody who was just grilling you on Twitter. Were you tweeting that you were like getting paid to talk about college football and tweeting from Maui? Is that correct, or did I read that incorrectly?
That was right. It was on the heels of being in the at SEC Media Days. I left from there and then went to Maui with my son. He just graduated from high school, so we did a little father-son trip with about four or five other father-sons out to Maui and had a great time. I'd had a few cocktails at that point in time. It's not really the best idea to drink and tweet, but I had done that and got involved with some Georgia fans a little bit.
Hey, do you have any kids who are potential college athletes?
I do not, man. This is my last kid. My son is, my daughter's already at Florida. She's heading into her junior year there.
Right.
Big sorority girl, loves the Greek life, no sports for her. And then my son just finished up at high school, played football there, but is heading off to Savannah College of Art and Design. So looking
nice.
More in the world of arts.
You know what? It sounds like your boy Cakes and Chris Doering, we've got a lot in common. I have a daughter who's a junior, and I have a son who's about to go off to college. I'm about to be an empty nester, Chris. I don't know what to do. It's like a crossroads in my life that I'm about to face.
It is weird, isn't it? The idea that all of a sudden the routine that you've been in for all these years is going to be completely different. It's a little scary, a little exciting at the same time.
Well, CD, let me just tell you this. All right, I've done it because I got both daughters at Virginia Tech. All right, and my youngest daughter is a sophomore, oldest is a senior. And when they go away, I just stare at my wife and my dog and go, all right, let's have dinner at 4, and then we'll be in bed by 6:30.
When do you start the cocktails?
I'll have a cocktail at like 4 to 5:30, but then there's nothing else to do. And, I mean, I'll play golf. That's what I do, but it's kind of depressing. Just be prepared for that.
I appreciate that, man. I'm already feeling a little anxious about it. I got about literally about a month until we drop him off at school, so trying to enjoy every last minute. And I put like, oh, man, this could be the last time he and I play basketball against each other. Last time we go work out together. So you put all these little like extra emotions into the things you're doing with them now.
I got you. So I know you're surprised that the preseason rankings have 3 SEC teams in the top 7. Shocking. But what was your biggest takeaway? You mentioned the media days, and that was a couple weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, I guess, in Atlanta, right? Was that Atlanta?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What was your biggest takeaway from that?
You know, I think the biggest takeaway for me was the feeling that I have about two of the coaches in this conference, and both go by the name of Brian. Brian Kelly in his first year in the SEC with LSU really have warmed up to him a lot more than I thought that I was going to. You know, I thought it was obviously he's got a great resume, but wasn't sure about the fit there in Baton Rouge, wasn't necessarily sure about, you know, how I felt about his authenticity. But after being with him both at SEC spring meetings in Destin and then at Media Days a couple weeks back, yeah, I find this guy to be very, very engaging, very warm, very different than what I expected him to be, and certainly has a command about him that I think, you know, anybody can feel. And so I think the acclimation process to Baton Rouge, to LSU, the school, and to the conference in general, I think it's going to be much easier after experiencing what I did with him. And then maybe the most tumultuous offseason of anybody was Brian Harsin at Auburn. You know, I somehow was able to survive an attempted coup there at Auburn among some of the boosters. And now feels to me like he's really created some equity with his team after talking to the players and listening to the way they talk about him and the way that he's invested in each of them personally. Now, I don't know what Auburn ends up doing this year, but I feel much differently about him than I did, I think, 6 months back or so.
Chris, this is a kind of down-the-road question, but do you see the SEC expanding, like as a counter move to the Big Ten, adding USC and UCLA, you know, another seismic shift in conference realignment? Does the SEC try to poach Clemson and Florida State from the ACC, or are they good where they are at this point?
Isn't it funny to think about the ACC being maybe the most susceptible of all the Power 5 conferences? Obviously, the Pac-12 is on their last leg, but to think about, you know, the ACC being as susceptible as they are with all the success that they've had, you know, and more, they've had Heisman winners here in the recent years. They've competed and won in the college football playoffs. So, yeah, I think that inevitably at some point makes a lot of sense. It was a topic of conversation at Media Days from the moment it opened, and that was, you know, the opening messages from Commissioner Sankey about the desire to, you know, stay in the contiguous footprint that the SEC has right now. Even with Oklahoma and Texas coming, that's still something that, Commissioner Sankey feels is important. So I think, you know, a school like Clemson or Florida State, those North Carolina, those make a lot of sense. But it was a point that he made that he's happy with where they are right now, and they don't have any expected expansion at this time. But I wouldn't be surprised. Inevitably, we're going to see those power conferences that we talked about probably 10 years ago. It's going to end up being at least two or more, you know, big conferences that have 20 or more teams in them.
So I was just kind of looking at some win totals for the year. Now, both Georgia and Bama are set at 10.5. Now, most of, they're juiced to the over. And just kind of looking at Georgia's schedule, they open up in Atlanta on September 3rd with Oregon. All right, so that'll be a tough test. Oregon's got a new coaching staff, new quarterback. I was never a Bo Nix guy. I don't know how much you'd like or dislike Bo Nix. I certainly would put Georgia as the favorite, and I think they'll win the game, especially since it's in Atlanta. But Georgia lost, I believe, 8 starters on defense. Most of those guys were drafted in the first round. But I don't know. I mean, kind of handicap that matchup for me, specifically because you've seen Bo Nix play a bunch.
Yeah, you know, I like Bo Nix. I thought he jumped into a very difficult situation, having to follow in his father's footsteps at the school that he played for and made such a big name for himself. It was a difficult time with a lot of turnover, multiple different offensive coordinators that he had to play for, and so it just didn't work out. But I do think he's a quality football player. I think he's a competitor, and I'm anxious to get him to see him play against SEC competition again. With that being said, you mentioned all the losses on the defensive side for Georgia. Yeah, there's a lot of names that you probably haven't heard of yet, but these are guys that were considered to be the best of the best in the last few years' recruiting classes, as Georgia, as we all know, has been in the top three in the last 3 years. So it'll be interesting to see with that matchup, how quickly can those new guys step into their starting positions and run with them? Does it take some acclimation time playing an opponent like Oregon in week one? Does not give you much opportunity to knock the rust off and to acclimate as new starters. But at the same time, you know, these are not any schlubs by any means. They're very good players, and you return, you know, some experience on the offensive side, particularly at the tight end position. I mean, I don't know that I've ever seen an embarrassment of riches with which Georgia will roll out there at the tight end position this year.
Joined by Chris Doering, analyst for ESPN and SEC Network. Well, speaking of riches in Athens, Kirby Smart is now super rich after signing that $112.5 million contract extension. What sort of bombshell was that for the rest of the coaches, you know, in Division One? I mean, it resets the salary scale for coaches going forward.
I mean, isn't that what we talk about? You know, it seems like every few months we're talking about the scale being reset. And I just think it's interesting on the heels of the pandemic. You guys remember, you know, 2 years ago at this time, we were talking about athletic budgets hanging by a thread and all of these different schools struggling just to put teams out there. And then, you know, the pandemic passes and everybody's right back to investing money in their facilities, expanding what they're doing, and paying coaches more and more money. I mean, I don't know how it's sustainable, particularly with the name, image, and likeness stuff now, and maybe some funds being diverted to different pools than they were by boosters in the past. But it's no surprise. I mean, he's done a great job. He's returned to his alma mater, taking them to the pinnacle of the college football world, took that 41-year monkey off the back of Georgia fans, talking about their last national championship in 1980. So that is not a topic of conversation anymore, and I would not be surprised to see Georgia playing in another college football playoff, maybe even as soon as this year. I mean, that's kind of the prediction amongst a lot of the experts. So I think it's well-deserved, but I think it's interesting just seeing the continued run up and coaches' salaries.
So, based on what happened last year, the three teams that really probably want to prove how good they are, Bama, obviously, every single year. But, you know, Saban hates losing, certainly to a conference team in the national championship. Clemson, after what happened, the quarterback was awful last year. And Ohio State, after getting boat raced by Michigan. Those three teams I would watch. But Bama, since their preseason won, their win total also 10.5. I just like their transfers, Chris. I mean, they got the kid from Georgia, the receiver.
Jermaine Burton.
Yep. They got the Gibbs kid from Georgia Tech, the running back. I think he's going to have a huge year.
Yep.
Defensively, I mean, talk about Will Anderson. He might be the best player in the country. He's unbelievable. He's a freak. Do you like Bama over the 10.5 versus Georgia?
I do.
Yeah.
I like Bama to go undefeated this year. I think this is the best team in the country. You know, I think they end up winning the national championship. But I do agree, man. I came on y'all's show last year multiple times and talked about, you know, how I didn't think that 2021 Alabama team was elite, how they had some deficiencies. And I thought the job that Nick Saban did last year was his best coaching job since he's been in Alabama. And,
wow.
You know, that's not to demean any of the seasons where they won national championships. But he mentioned the other day, and he was criticized for saying this, which I agreed with him. He said it was a rebuilding year last year, which it was. You go back and look at all the inexperience that they had on the defensive side, you know, guys having to play probably before they were ready to. You look at a new quarterback jumping in there with Bryce Young taking over. The offensive line was a mess for Alabama standards, at least. And they were able to squeeze more out of that orange than I thought would have ever been possible by getting to the national championship game. Not to mention the fact they lose their two top wide receivers, one in the SEC championship game, one and earlier in that title game. But I thought they were able to do more with less. And that's not saying they didn't have talent, but it was less experience. And I thought it was a tremendous coaching job by him. And I think because of all that experience that they gained, particularly on the defensive side, they are the prohibitive favorite to win this year, and I would definitely take the over in that 10.5
mark. How motivated do you think Nick is on October 8th at home to face Jimbo? That's must-watch television, I think.
Yeah, remember there was a time not too long ago that we talked about this run of Saban assistants losing to Coach Saban. Now we've seen two of them knock him off with Jimbo Fisher last year in October and obviously Kirby Smart in the national championship game. But a lot of motivation, one, to get some revenge on last year's game, two, because of all the dust-up that went on with the comments made about Jackson State and Texas A&M using NIL stuff for recruiting inducements illegally. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of motivation anyway, just not having won a national title last year. And if you go back and look, there hasn't been a whole lot of years in recent history where Alabama's returned both its coordinators and its starting quarterback. I think it's happened twice so far in the last 8 years, and each of those seasons ended with national championships in Tuscaloosa. So I would not be surprised between the motivation, the experience, and the continuity on the coaching staff for Alabama to be the ones holding up that trophy in January.
Who's your favorite win total this year? Favorite one?
It's Mississippi State over. I think it's 6.5. I think Mississippi State is the Ole Miss of 2021. You look at what Ole Miss did last year. They had an experienced quarterback. They were improved on defense. I think Mississippi State has a chance to be the biggest mover in the SEC this year. With you look at Will Rogers, he's the most experienced starting quarterback in the league returning. Zach Arnett's done a tremendous job there with their defense the last couple seasons. And at the end of the year last year, you saw a lot of the young guys in that offense starting to hit their rhythm. I just think where they pick up where they left off, and 6.5 to me seems really low. I could see this team winning 9 or 10 games potentially this year.
Wow.
Hey, you mentioned the NIL, and I was wondering, you know, it's still early in NIL days, but do you think it's going to change the landscape of competition, or it's just reinforcing it and keeping the big boys up top?
Man, I think, you know, there was a lot of people that talked about the ability to even the playing field a little bit, and we saw that to some degree, right? Jackson State got, you know, some of the top recruits in the country, including the number one overall. I don't think that happens if it's not for NIL. So we have seen some other folks be able to move and get some of the top talent that they maybe wouldn't have otherwise. But I think, you know, it's what were the things that we were talking about in the past with the big boys? It was they have better facilities than everybody else because they have more money. Well, the same holds true in NIL. It was funny because I think a lot of what happened with those comments that Nick Saban made in the offseason, one, we're calling out things that he thought were outside of the rules and the intended purposes of NIL. But I also think it was a call to his boosters. Hey, we're going to continue to stay on a higher level of recruiting. We have to have more participation from our alumni and from our fans. So I do think it'll continue to be the big boys that are able to get the kind of money they need to stay above everybody else. But again, this time last year, we were talking about the same teams in the college football playoff year in and year out, And what we have last year, you know, we didn't have the Ohio State or Clemson's, as you mentioned. We got a chance to see Michigan and Cincinnati in the mix. Georgia got in there for the second time. So as much as we think we know what's going to happen in college football, it always gives us the great surprises that we love so much.
Chris, thanks as always. All right, bro. We always appreciate it. Chris Doering, analyst for ESPN and SEC Network. We'll talk to you again
email
soon.
I'll email you that pool if you're interested.
Please do. Thanks,
right,
guys. See you.
All right, coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, we'll play out a poker hand on air, and we'll give you the chance to win front row OAR tickets. We'll be right back.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Coming up at 8 o'clock, we'll be joined by Rick Snyder, 106.7 The Fan columnist, and we'll also start dealing out a poker hand across the 8 o'clock hour. We're going to play a crazy game of poker here on 106.7 The Fan for your chance to win front row seats to go see OAR at Merriweather Post Pavilion in August, late August.
Cakes, you haven't teased our cologne challenge either.
I have not. That's
we were joning on Jason a couple days ago because he mentioned having a Tommy Bahama cologne.
Correct.
Have we secured our judge, Drabby?
Negative. Negative. I wasn't quite sure how you wanted to do it, to be honest with you.
Well, I brought in one of Isabella's sleep masks. Okay. I think that if we can secure Karina from 94.7. You get her here, we put on the blindfold, and then she just smells everybody's cologne, and she gives them each ratings, and we'll see who rates the highest.
She picks the best, her favorite scent.
Now, I had my bottle of cologne out, and my wife said, I don't even think that smells, because this is probably 10 years old.
Yeah.
I have Giorgio Armani Acqua di Gio.
Okay.
Does cologne go bad? If it does, this has gone bad.
Couldn't tell you. I mean, I wouldn't have any.
So I would not believe
mine's
a favorite.
How many different colognes do we have?
Did they bring in one? I brought in my son's cologne because I don't own.
So we have five.
You brought in your son's?
I don't have any. Drab was like, bring cologne tomorrow. I was like, okay, it's kind of wacky, but I searched for cologne. I don't own a bottle presently.
I brought in my 2004, the best cologne ever made.
Okay. Michael Jordan.
What? No. Abercrombie and Fitch Fierce.
Should have known it was Abercrombie. You're such an Abercrombie right. Mark.
I guarantee you mine's the odds on favorite. I
mean, maybe we'll get Roger the Dodger to smell.
What does Drabby the judge?
Oh, I don't have cologne.
Yeah, we're team
natural,
no cologne.
I'm natural, all natural. Yeah,
you know what? If I don't smell good enough after a shower and some Old Spice deodorant, that's all I got.
And what is your son's cologne that's going to represent the Auville family?
It's Horse Camp.
Tommy
Horse. Tommy.
Oh, Tommy.
It's Tommy Cologne.
All right. So I think the way I thought it is we can either cover the colognes because, you know, you might have a favorite, like a bias just based on name.
By the way, here's my...
Don't let her know the name. She'll just smell all four of them.
My youngest son.
And then
son,
she'll rank them.
Apparently, he's like B. Mitch. Look how much... There's very little left in the bottle.
Is this your older son, Kurt?
Oh, this is my youngest. This is Brendan's cologne.
This is what he was wearing, a Magruder.
Yeah, and what he's wearing present, like wearing going to College Park, I guess. He needs a new bottle from the looks of things. So good for him.
Shouldn't we spray it on a piece of paper, and then you got to waft it around?
I mean, you can do that, but usually you can just smell it right from the bottle. Yeah, I was surprised. I actually smelled his Tommy Bahama yesterday. It's not bad.
I'm going to put some on right now. Can I put some on?
Yeah, you want to freshen up. Go ahead. Why wouldn't you do that?
Just a little bit.
Yeah, just a little bit on the...
All right, so we've got
Drabby,
Fierce.
Just a
is that what you called it? Abercrombie and Fitch Fierce.
It's Abercrombie and Fitch. Everybody knows the smell.
Right.
Whoever's 35 knows the smell.
Everybody knows it. I'm sure everybody knows it.
Because it punched you in the face when you walked in there to buy your graphic tees.
Right. Three for like $100, I'm sure. Something along those lines.
Your racist t-shirts.
I mean, right,
you know what?
Never an Abercrombie guy.
I'm
going
to put it up as the Junkies poll of the day. What is the favorite that is brought to you by Van Meter Homes? But I know we're about to open up the entertainment page.
Actually, we're going to pivot.
Oh, we are.
We're going to do something even more important.
The eBay is finito.
Entertainment.
Oh, the food
news.
Page.
No, this is big. This is Doritos news. And I know this hits Drabby just right in the feels because he's a big-time Doritos guy. Are you guys intrigued by two of the latest flavors? How about some old standbys, ketchup and mustard flavored Doritos? Where do you guys stand on those?
I mean, I'm sure
offerings?
It'll taste good, but it sounds a little weird.
I'm not into either, but I am, when we talked about hot dogs recently, a little bit different than you. I'm not huge into ketchup.
What's wrong
or mustard
with just staying with your monsters, your nacho cheese and your Cool Ranch?
They're just trying to expand their brand.
I know.
They always got to come out with the newbies.
But they're not going to be as good as nacho cheese and Cool Ranch. No chance.
Now, Canada has had ketchup versions of chips for years, but it's not something that's been big in the U.S. So I guess Doritos is going to try to change that with their ketchup flavor. And the mustard bit is a spicy mustard. And it's not like a Dijon mustard. Apparently, it's hot mustard like you'd put on like an egg roll from a Chinese restaurant. So that sort of spicy mustard. I'm kind of intrigued by that, not going to lie, because if I get an egg roll, I don't do sweet and sour sauce. I don't do duck sauce. I do the spicy mustard.
Okay.
Is the go-to topping for an egg roll. Now, here's the problem. These flavors are not available in your local stores. They're not on the shelves. You have to go to snacks.com to order them.
I'm out.
So there's good news and bad news on the Doritos front. Good news, new flavors. Bad news, you have to order them and have them. Well, it's not terrible. Show up on your doorstep instead of going to shop for them.
Well, then I guess we'll never have them, because the only way we would ever get these is if we stumble into them at Harris Teeter.
That's generally true. Like if you go down,
I guess you did. You stumbled into some crazy Dorito flavor the other day.
Now this is at the Harris Teeter outside of Kiowa Island. I stumbled upon a bag of Doritos in a color palette that I had never seen before. I think the bag was like, it almost looked like a wacky Mountain Dew, like offshoot pack with 1,000 colors on it. I had never heard of this flavor. Has anybody heard of the flavor tamarind?
Never.
With a D on the end.
No.
I had never heard
now
of it.
Now they're just making up flavors.
It said has a sour taste to it. And I said, I'm kind of intrigued. Now, Drab, it was not the large family size bag. It was a snack size bag, but it was good enough to sample the flavor. And my review was, I didn't hate it. It's not my favorite Dorito flavor of all time. Probably doesn't crack my top three, but I would eat it again. I would sample it again. But I kind of agree with Jason. I do like the OG flavors. Obviously, your nacho, your Cool Ranch. And one that I'm going to throw in there that's an old school that they're trying to bring the paddles to by putting it out in the old school packaging.
Yeah.
Taco.
All right.
What does taco flavor taste like, though?
Does it taste more like the nacho cheese?
It tastes like kind of
probably
like,
got a little salsa
like
in there.
A spiced up taco shell. Hmm. And it's delicious.
I'll go with that, but nacho cheese and Cool Ranch just destroy all the other
ones. It's probably got cumin on it, right?
It might.
I'm guessing possibly. That's what you put in like taco seasoning.
Officially the worst Dorito flavor, and I didn't even know they did this, but I was bamboozled by them, by the marketing. They just had like a yellow bag, corn flavored. And I said, "Well, no one's going to order those." Aren't all Doritos the base is it's a corn chip?
Yep.
Right. Like so, I bought it and it was like buying just a rando bag of like Tostitos.
Did it taste like a? I was going to say like a Frito.
No, it just tasted like a random tortilla chip with no flavoring on it. And I wanted my money back as soon as I started eating the bag.
Well, that's your. Why would you buy it?
I was stupid.
Yeah, I mean, why?
I made a mistake. I made a mistake in the Doritos world. I bought the yellow bag. It's the OG corn flavor. It'll never happen again.
I have Cool Ranch Doritos all the time when I go to like Subway or something.
They're so
like that.
Good.
And I love them. I don't think I've ever bought a big bag in my life, like for home.
Kind of weird. Are you?
The strangest man alive. Yeah,
so I don't do the grocery shopping. We tend to have Tostitos.
Okay.
A lot of Tostitos, which you can, and they're always the scoops. Okay. Scoops, and then you can use hummus or salsa or whatever, but we never have Doritos.
Well, that's just your own personal choice. What? I don't have them all the time, but I've had a big family sized bag of Doritos at my house before.
I don't think I've ever done that.
You've only had snack sized Doritos.
Correct.
Well, you're just not living your life correctly. That sounds like a strange
life.
Too manly to go to the grocery store.
No, I go to the grocery store, but
he just doesn't go down the chips aisle.
The snack aisle.
Oh, if I go to a grocery store and I don't go to the chips aisle, it's a wasted trip.
Right. There's something wrong with you.
If I'm in a grocery store, even if I'm not there to buy chips, I will go to the chips aisle to see the latest offerings, to see if the Cheez-It extra toasties are on sale, like two boxes for $7, mm-hmm. which is a great deal these days. You always have to just go in and peruse.
If I go to the grocery store and I go to Harris Teeter, the snack which I'm most likely to purchase, and it's a little pricey. Harris Teeter puts out some chocolate chip cookies, mm-hmm. four of them, big chocolate chunk cookies.
Right.
They're like $5, maybe even like $6 now, but they're worth it.
Yeah.
I'm not a chips guy so much.
Well, that's where we differ. That's where we have a split in the road.
Well, look, he went to the Bahamas where they've got just a huge casino.
Yeah.
And bars everywhere. Didn't have one drink and didn't gamble.
Right. No, I had three drinks.
Yeah, three drinks in seven days.
Right.
Yeah, it's just a little, he's just wired differently.
He's just a different cat. All right, when we come back, we will talk some more Commanders with Rick Snyder, 106.7 The Fan columnist, and we'll start dealing out our poker hand that you have to pay attention to throughout the 8 a.m. hour for your chance to win front row OAR tickets here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.